The Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, has been given a boost in the latest opinion polls as he prepares to announce his ministerial lineup. News poll has Labor closing the gap on the coalition, 49 points to 51. Labor received a 6-point jump in its primary vote. Chief Political Correspondent Sabra Lane joins us now. Sabra, good morning. There were predictions, of course, of a sugar hit for Labor. It seems to have got it.
Yes, that's right. News poll shows a change in leaders has given Labor a lift to its primary vote, up 6 points now to 35%. The coalition's dropped 5 points, now down to 43%. On a two-party preferred basis, that translates to 49% for Labor and 51% for the coalition. That is a big improvement on Labor's polling figures, the best figures in 6 months. It's not enough to retain government, but it's not the kind of catastrophic result that the polls were pointing to under Julia Gillard's leadership. Tony, it is worth noting the margin of error for this poll is 3%.
Sabra, did the poll ask the question about preferred Prime Minister?
It certainly did, and Kevin Rudd's return to the leadership has triggered a dramatic result. 49% of voters think Mr. Rudd would be the better Prime Minister. That's a 14-point lead over Tony Abbott. And Tony, that is a reversal of fortunes for Mr. Abbott. In the last news poll a week ago, Mr. Abbott had a 12-point lead over Julia Gillard.
The new cabinet, Sabra, will be sworn in today. What's it look like?
That's right. We've got a lot of old faces coming back. Kim Carr is back as Innovation and Industry Minister. Joel Fitzgibbon comes back in. He takes on Agriculture. Brendan O'Connor moves to Employment. Tony Burke takes on the tricky portfolio of Immigration. And Mark Butler becomes the Environment and Climate Change Minister. Tony, there'll be 6 women appointed to Cabinet, a record. And Kevin Rudd was on Channel 7 this morning and he was asked if he was boosting the number of women because he's fearing a backlash against removing the first female Prime Minister. Let's hear his response.
What you know is that from day one, any decision has to be taken on its merits. These are women who are strong, professional, highly experienced, and are there exclusively on their merit. I'm proud they're in the cabinet, and I'm proud we have a record number of women in the cabinet too, right, in Australian history.
Kevin Rudd speaking there on morning television. Sabra, when will cabinet actually meet?
It's going to be sworn in this afternoon and will have its first meeting this afternoon. And one of its first considerations will be a review the government commissioned at the time of the budget into Australia's system for processing refugee claims. The Foreign Minister, Bob Carr, has been in Indonesia over the weekend to lay the groundwork for an annual bilateral talks that Mr. Rudd will attend later this week in Indonesia. I spoke to Senator Carr earlier.
My talks with them have been very positive. Indonesia is a partner with us in the Bali process, the organisation of over 50 countries that are concerned about people smuggling, human trafficking, and Indonesia sees this as as big a problem for them as it is for us. They're a transit country, and there are implications for law and order in Indonesia with the arrival of large numbers from Iran in particular.
Do the Indonesians need more resources to stop the boats? Indeed, do they need money to establish a processing centre there?
We're exploring that with them, and that's a bit outside the scope of my discussions as Foreign Minister. But they do acknowledge the fact that there's been a spike in the number of Iranians leaving Iran and travelling through Indonesia, and in about 50% of recent cases coming onto Australia. This has got implications for Indonesia as much as it has for us. We're not asking Indonesia to cooperate with us in anything that's not in their interest as well.
It makes it quite difficult because with the non-refoulement rules with the UNHCR, Iranians can't be returned to Iran.
Well, in the past we've returned Iranians there, and at the present time Iran's not accepting the return of Iranians, but I see that as not conflicting at all with the convention. The fact is these people are middle-class Iranians. They're leaving their country because of the economic pressures, much of it produced, I guess, by the sanctions that apply to Iran because of the nuclear ambitions of its supreme leader and its guardianship council. We've got concerns about that, and we'll work with the Indonesians towards a solution that, again, suits them and their interests as much as us and ours.
At the time of the budget, the government commissioned a review of the processing system of refugees in a bid to lower the acceptance rate. Where is that review at?
Cabinet's discussing that. I won't talk about it further, but it's informing government discussions, and it's reflected in the statements I've made on this subject recently.
Through that review process, is Australia looking to tighten the definition of what it is to be a refugee? At the moment, 90% of people who come here by boat are found to be refugees. Will you see?
I think we've got to be more critical and more searching of this. I'm just looking at some figures in front of me now about recent boat arrivals, and one struck by the large number of Iranians, Sri Lankans, I wouldn't prejudge any individual claims, but on balance, we've got to question whether people coming from a majority ethnic and religious group are always to be found refugees.
To Egypt, Minister, there's been a great deal of civil unrest there marking the first anniversary of President Morsi's election. Will the travel advice for the country change?
Well, I note what the US has done on instructions from Washington alerting American citizens to defer non-essential travel to Egypt. We're talking to the missions of like-minded countries in Cairo, and we're looking at what happens as the protests get underway. And we'll revise our travel advice accordingly.
The Foreign Minister, Senator Bob Carr, speaking to Sabra Lane.